Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
All right, we're talking football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day at this time with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. If you guys have questions for John, you can text those in right now to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. John, how are you?
Oh, hanging in there. another day, another disaster.
Another is still the computer issue, huh?
No, we got that fixed, but now I'm having trouble. I can't get the info from TurboTax to move to 219 to 220.
I don't know how that works. I'm having a hard time relating, but it sounds frustrating.
Well, yeah, because I had the 219 TurboTax in the my wife's computer, but her laptop is a Windows 7, and now they've upgraded. You could have to have Windows 10, which I have, but I can't get the info.
Oh boy, Geek Squad! I think you're gonna have to break down and call those guys. I think they'll get it fixed up for you. It'll all work out, John. I promise.
Oh, okay.
All right. Hey, what's we're a day away from this game. We still don't know who the quarterback will be for the Rams, although we played a clip from Jared Goff earlier that said something along the lines of, well, if I'm called upon, I'll be ready. And I'm sitting there thinking, if you're called upon, does that mean that they might start Wolford and see how it goes and they don't want to put him out there? What do you expect to see?
I expect to see him out there. Yeah, he was throwing the ball pretty well in the last 2 days. I mean, he didn't throw anything over 35 yards, but at least he was gripping the ball and throwing it downfield. And the one thing that's going to be an adjustment for him is that they like to run 60% of the plays with the quarterback taking a snap behind center. Well, because of the fact that would be too much of a toll on that thumb, he's going to do most stuff now in shotgun, and that could leave him prone to making a few dropping the ball type things because, again, you're throwing it back to a guy that has a broken thumb, so that could be a little bit of an issue too. But it looks as though they're going to try to give it a go with him.
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting to see this the Wolford guy. Did I say it right?
You did. Yep.
Oh,
you got it right.
Gosh, John. By tomorrow, John, I have to have that down.
Yeah,
because we're
going to
be on a radio broadcast. Maura's worried about me.
Are you really? Oh, I can understand it.
Yeah.
I mean, Wolford's not that hard.
It just for some reason I hear Grisham or Woodford
like,
or
it was like Travis Homer.
Yeah.
You kept calling him Homer Travis.
Ah, man, yeah, we'll get it done. Hey, what's going on with the Texans, John, down there? Deshaun Watson, first of all, one of my favorite guys, just from what I've read. Now, obviously, I haven't spoken to him and interviewed him or anything like that, but he's still what's going on down there between him and the Houston Texans?
Well, what's going on is that he's unhappy, and you can arguably say that the Texans are one of the worst organizations in football right now. I mean, they're really bad. And so because of that, it looks like the fact that they promised him that they would have him in the loop on the GM and coaching search and then didn't. Then they hired Nick Caserio as a GM, didn't tell him, and then he wanted to have Eric Bieniemy interviewed. They didn't interview Eric. And so you put all that together, and so he's upset. But here's where the problem is for Deshaun Watson. He just signed a $39 million contract, and he had a no-trade clause. So if he wants to ask for a trade, how's he going to get it done? There's a no-trade clause.
Gotcha. Well, since we're on that topic, so I'm sure you're going to put the Jets in there.
Oh, yeah.
I would throw Jacksonville, because you were talking about worst franchises right now anyway. Five worst. So you got Houston, Jacksonville, the Jets. Who else?
Detroit,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then
Cincinnati, are they turning the corner
right
with
Cincinnati,
Burrow?
I'd say right now Cincinnati, because, they're not advancing. I mean, they made the move for Zach Taylor, and he was a little bit raw for the job, but, they got him. But, yeah, you can probably put Cincinnati in that group, too. But, Houston and the Jets right now are the worst. And you're right, Jacksonville, the cupboard's bare there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right.
How about best top five?
Top five organization?
You got to say Seahawks.
Yeah, Seahawks would be in the top five. You say Pittsburgh's in the top five. You have to say Kansas City's in the top five. You'd say that
New Orleans
would be in the top five. You get more than five, that's for sure. I mean, I think you'd have to include the Rams. I think they have to be in the mix too.
Yeah,
Green Bay
would be in there. Yeah, pretty much, the playoff teams that are playoff teams in most years.
How about this Dallas situation? The defensive coordinator Mike Nolan and their line coach Jim Tomsula, the electric personality that he is, will not be returning to the Dallas Cowboys next season.
Well, I hated to see it with Tomsula because I like him so much because he's a Homestead guy from Homestead, Pennsylvania. And, of course, Tomsula is a very good defensive line coach. And I used to tell him in his different stops that it's like, you know, Jim, it's like you lived in Homestead. And I lived in Braddock right by the water, you know, near the water. So every time he flushed his commode, I got his crap. So I used to tell him that all the time. But
what a bond you guys have.
But I mean, Nolan needed to be fired. I mean, he came in there and just totally messed things up. I mean, they've been drafting as a 4-3 defense for more than a decade. And he came in there, put in 3-4 elements, wanted a hybrid defense, made things too complicated, and they were just awful.
Well, why didn't Jerry Jones step in then and say, you know, earlier? Because like you said, you know, he's a different philosophy. Mm-hmm. Well, why hire him in the first place? And then, you know,
well, that's what the other Mike Nolan wanted. Remember, because Mike hired McCarthy as offensive coordinator. And so it's not a payback type of thing, but he thought he was getting, you know, a bright coach, which he is a bright coach. It just didn't work out in Dallas.
It looks like things are turning for the Browns. They reopen their facility. They can start practicing. So what do you think? We were talking about how this, you know, these COVID situations may affect them in the game coming up this weekend, but now it feels like, all right, it's trending the right way for them.
No, I don't think it is.
You don't
I
think
mean,
so?
No, because
I mean, reopening, that's not going the right direction?
No. I mean, they got at least 7 players right now that probably aren't going to be able to play, and they may have hardly anybody left in the secondary, because unless Denzel Ward gets cleared, unless Kevin Johnson, a cornerback, gets cleared, you know, they were able to get one safety back. But then they had to put their starting safety, Ronnie Harrison, on the list. And then today they had to put another safety out there. And then don't forget, they've had injuries. Olivier Vernon blew out an Achilles, so they don't have him. And they're down 6 coaches on offense. I mean, for example, how are you going to make adjustments during the game? You have Alex Van Pelt and hardly anybody else, because you have the wide receiver coach, the tight end coach, 2 offensive line coaches, including Bill Callahan, who's one of the best in the game. So you're down 6 coaches and 7 players, and you know, what's left? I mean, Joel Bitonio, their best offensive lineman, is not going to be able to play because he had a positive test. It's a mess.
So you think they're going to get worked?
I think they're going to get destroyed, you know.
Don't you think, John, if it's like on the eve of the Super Bowl, you know, and both teams start having these similar type of tests, you know, coming back positive, that they'll make adjustments somehow?
Yeah, on a Super Bowl, yeah, because, again...
Or NFC-AFC championship, too.
Well, maybe the NFC-AFC championship, just because you do have that one week in between, and there's no guarantee that the Super Bowls are going to fly, teams going to fly in on Monday, because, you know, I don't think there's going to be any, you know, media, there's not going to be any Radio Row, and there's not going to be, you know, all the press conferences and everything else, because everything's going to be on Zoom. So, yeah, I mean, I think once you get to the end, but until you get through these next 2 weeks, you know, with the wild card and the you know, divisional round, there's no changes there. But, yeah, you can have a little more flexibility if you get to the championship game and the Super Bowl.
Again, you guys can text in your questions for the professor, 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. 360 asking, Professor, how do players get paid for the playoffs? Talking about high-salary guys versus low-salary guys and players on injured reserve.
Yeah, it's the same pay.
I mean, all the same, yeah.
All the same. You don't get anything different. It's the one where it's like, okay, you get what you get, and that's it.
It's a pay cut for the veterans like Bobby and Russell.
What did you get, Dave? Well, of course, wait a second. We didn't have too many playoffs for Dave.
Hey, come on now, wow. John. I was in one. Let's see. I went to the playoffs twice. Well, 3 times. 1 time I was on the couch, though. Mm-hmm. That was my rookie year. I remember thinking, I'm pretty sure that if you went all the way and won the Super Bowl, it was like $72,000, yeah. I think. And I think the playoff games were around 10, you know, and then it ratchets up. Do you know what those numbers are now, John?
I don't. In fact, I was going to look them up today, but I got so tied up with different things.
Your TurboTax. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm sure it's... But, no, seriously, I mean, you look at a guy like Bobby Wagner, just the simple math. I mean, he's probably, you know, every paycheck is $2 or $3 million for him.
Mm-hmm. Goodness.
Well,
not
every game, you know, but
and
I mean,
but
every 2
so
weeks.
He and Ben Burkhirvan are getting the same check,
yes,
for the playoff game.
That's correct.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so yeah, no break there. But again, the big thing is you're in the playoffs, and that's what everybody wants to be in.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, John, how about upsets over the weekend? Most likely upset. You might have answered this question yesterday, but how do you feel today about possibilities? What's the biggest possibility?
I still think that you have a chance for Indianapolis to have an upset.
You know, Danny brought up the point that the Saints always find a way to lose. Well, not always, but they've had a couple of situations. I'm starting to think maybe that Bears one is not entirely impossible.
I don't buy it.
Not buying it?
No, because, you know, what you've got Mitch Trubisky going against Drew Brees. And, you know, you don't know. I think, you know, Allen Robinson's expected to play, but if he doesn't, then they're in further trouble. Then, you know, you've got, you know, there's so many things right now that I think are so questionable about being able to go. And again, it's like, you know, I know that he had the four games where he's got 30 points or more, but they're against four of the worst six defenses in football.
Mm. John, the 425 asking which wild card team has the best shot at making the Super Bowl?
You might say Tampa Bay, if they can, you know, somehow get hot. I think Indianapolis, if they can get that win over Buffalo, you know, they might have a chance. And I don't really give too many other teams a chance. I mean, I'm not saying that Washington won't beat Tampa Bay, because they could, but they're not going to go to the Super Bowl. They can't win three games on the road. And we can talk about the fact that, yeah, more home teams lost home games than the road teams. But also, if you look at the, except for two exceptions where you got Chicago at 3-5, Washington at 3-5, you know, everybody else has great records at home, even though there's no home crowd for the most part.
Who has the best shot to upset the Kansas City Chiefs? Is it Pittsburgh or
Buffalo?
Yeah,
I think Pittsburgh or Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore.
Oh, no, Pittsburgh, not Baltimore, because Baltimore won't be able to score, get the comeback if you know, you need it with Lamar Jackson. But I'd say, you know, Pittsburgh or Buffalo.
Yeah, although you think Buffalo could get upset by the Colts.
Yeah.
And then, and this is Ben Roethlisberger's what? Is this like his 17th year?
16th, 17th.
How many
like
more
that?
Do you think he has in the tank,
I
John?
I think he has two more, to be honest.
Hmm.
Two more? Who's the best? Oh, they got Mason Rudolph. That's right. He's yeah. not their future. So they still need to acquire their future quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, and I, how, who knows how long that's going to take.
253 says, please ask John about Chris Carson's conditioning and why he comes out every two plays, whether it's third down or not.
I just think of the physical nature of things. I mean, you know, it's one where, I mean, you know how tough he is, but you also know how many hits he takes and how hard he takes the hits. But, you know, they want a little bit of a rotation. Now, the rotation is going to change a little bit because you kind of get the feeling Rashad Penny's not going to be able to play. The knee was bothering him, so they put him on the and it's questionable, and then Alex Collins came up. So you kind of get the feeling that, you know, it's going to be Carlos Hyde. It's going to be Chris Carson. And also, I think what you're also looking at is that down the stretch, I mean, they certainly needed – they didn't necessarily need it in the San Francisco game, even though it was a close game. I think they're trying to protect him enough that they, you know, he can do more in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think the thing with Carson is not so much that he's not out of shape.
No.
They're just trying to preserve him and not have him take a bunch of hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where are you with Penny? I mean, now all of a sudden, looking into the offseason as far as shaping up what this running back group is going to be like, yeah, with Penny, you're kind of – and then same thing with Carson. Like, his health has been kind of sketchy. It doesn't seem like it's any clearer than when they went into the season.
No, it isn't, because, again, it's like the situation with Daryl Taylor. I mean, it's like you don't know what you really have with him. So, again, there's a lot of uncertainties. But I think the key right now for this team is, you know, with a couple of exceptions, this is probably the healthiest they've been all year.
What, as far as Taylor goes, you think we're going to see him at all?
The longer they go in the playoffs, I think that they will. But, you know, if they only go one or two games, then probably no.
Hmm. John, I'm looking at this list. How about Richard Seymour as far as, you know, the one thing I say about him, he's got 57.5 sacks. He's one of those classic 3-4 defensive ends. And what do you think about him, his, you know, getting into the Hall of Fame? Is it this year for him, do you think?
I don't know. I kind of doubt if it's going to be this year. I think he's going to have a chance. But I think so much of it depends on Calvin Johnson, because you know that Peyton Manning's going to make it. You know that Charles Woodson's going to make it. If you've got Megatron, if he makes it, that only leaves two openings, and one of those spots really needs to go to one of the offensive linemen, either Alan Faneca or Tony Boselli. And so And I'll throw this right back to you two guys. It's like, okay, you have a choice between Richard Seymour, who was a great player for the New England Patriots, or do you go for the sack guy in Jared Allen, who was a great sack guy who had over 100 sacks?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Richard Seymour was more steady, and, you know, and they won, obviously, mm-hmm. when he was there. But, yeah, Jared Allen was...
He was pretty productive, man.
Pretty productive.
Guy was impactful.
Yeah. That's where...
And he had a cool mullet.
Yeah, and, you know, again, when you get a couple guys backed up on the same positions, you know, defensive end, then sometimes it becomes a little bit rougher for somebody to try to make it.
John, is there such thing as a cool mullet? It's almost a contradiction of terms.
We saw one yesterday, McQuiston's brother, right?
Yeah.
Looking at those pictures.
That was pretty good.
Oh, my goodness. I never seen anything
didn't
like that.
Didn't you have a
one.
Mullet in your when you did
on
your
commercial? Yeah.
Didn't you say that people thought that you really did have that when you would go out?
I mean, when they still ask. Now, not like I've been to an airport since like February, but I go through an airport. They says, "Hey, so how long's your hair?" It's like it's tucked in. It's
tucked in. Oh, you tell them you tuck it. Yeah,
it's in a ponytail. It's under my jacket. Did you have any issues with the All-Pro team? We taking a look at the list. You got one Seahawk on there, Bobby Wagner at linebacker. Anybody going down the list that you felt should have made it that didn't, or somebody that's on the list you don't think should have been there?
With some minor exceptions. I mean, I think the list is all pretty good. I mean, I think that there's no doubt that Michael Dixon came down too low. Now, I voted for Jack Fox because that's what all the people in the league did, because he had, 49.3 yard average. I didn't like Bailey going to it. I thought that was wrong. That was
Jake Bailey of the Patriots?
Of the Patriots, yeah. I didn't like that one at all. I mean, certainly I think they did it okay. I mean, I still kind of wonder, DeAndre Hopkins, I still think, should have been the second or third wide receiver. You know, he didn't make it. So I kind of question that. But overall, I think it's a pretty representative list.
Yeah, you got Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, and Tyreek Hill. I know who Bob would like to kick off that one.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, Tyreek Hill.
And just kick in particular.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, and then, offensive line. Yeah, it all looks pretty good. But, yeah, T.J. Watt, how about can he someday maybe be the most famous Watt brother? I mean, he was all pro last year as well.
Yeah, he's a good one. There's no question about it, but I think, you know, it's he and Aaron Donald, I think, for the defensive player of the year.
Well, and now I'm looking at the DeForest Buckner, and maybe Indianapolis did get the better part of that trade. You know, I mean,
no question.
Yeah, so Aaron Donald, DeForest Buckner inside, then Fred Warner. I really like Darius Leonard. Darius mm-hmm. Leonard, and he was a rookie last year, and guess where he went to college? Of course. Professional football team, LSU.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Stanford.
Isn't it funny, though, on the All-Pro list, you know, the linebackers make it, but it's the edge rushers, particularly the edge-rushing linebackers, that make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, good point.
Hey, John, the 425 wants to know, John, which of the open head coach positions is the most attractive? Also, which of the open GM positions is most attractive?
I'd say that the Chargers are the most attractive because, I mean, you get some pretty good talent, particularly on defense. You also get a great quarterback in Justin Herbert. And so I put that right at the top. And I think that, for the GM, probably Atlanta, because you get a good owner in Arthur Blank. So that could be one of the top ones. I still think, you know, Jacksonville, Houston, and the Jets are three of the worst, Detroit being also the four of the worst. And that's the one thing. It's like if you're a bad franchise, I mean, you're in that mix pretty much every year for a coach or general manager.
How unappealing does it make Jacksonville that their owner, Shad Khan, said basically he's going to be the guy that's controlling the roster?
Yeah.
If they're looking at somebody who's an established head coach or GM, I can't imagine they're looking at that as a good landing spot.
That can't be a positive. There's no question. That's something that's pretty bad.
So doesn't that kind of set up for them to get somebody getting their first opportunity?
Even makes it worse is that he may say he's going to do that, and I don't doubt that he is going to do some of that, but a lot of it's going to be his son, Shad Khan. I mean, so it's like his son.
Is he junior?
Yeah, because what he does, you know, he is an analytics guy because he has True Media. He runs True Media, which is something that is I know ESPN had True Media with all the stats analysis and everything like that. And so, and as time's going on, you know, they're kind of moving him over because he was working on the soccer team. And so now they want him more involved in football. So ultimately, it's going to be Khan's son.
So, yeah, and he also, he got in like a Twitter battle with Unique Ngakoue.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Remember that?
His son did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was during the
Tony
spring.
Khan.
Yeah. Is that his name?
That's
yeah.
his name, yeah.
Tony. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, anyway, that just, and he's trying to be, I guess, the Jerry Jones of, I guess that's what, yeah, I mean, you feel blessed to have a franchise that's so well run like the Seahawks, because it always comes from the top down. And the ownership here, Mr. Allen, the late Mr. Allen, and now his sister Jody, have just done a great job of hiring the right people to run, not trying to run it themselves.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a great part, but they do need to get something done with John Snyder.
Now, have they made any statements about whether Jody Allen is just going to keep this team moving forward? Because there was some thought that, okay, they're going to sell it eventually, and they're just going to, you know, get their ducks in a row and then look for a buyer. But I haven't heard anything about that. What do you
no,
think
they're
happens?
Not saying anything, and I think there's no move to do anything. There's plenty of money in the bank. I mean, the team's winning, all those different things, and Jody's doing a good job. I mean, you know, she was able to get the deal with Pete Carroll. She needs to get the deal with John Snyder. But no, I think there's no movement right now and no plans to move.
John, you doing your show tomorrow?
Yes, 8 to 10. Taking your phone calls.
8 to 10. Taking calls tomorrow with John Clayton. All right, John, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, just download the podcast at 710sports.com. Coming up, Dave had a chance to sit down with the head coach, Pete Carroll, talk about this wild card weekend matchup with the Rams. You're going to hear what they had to say coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.